is iAmerica Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. The United Nations is cutting the numbers of its staff in Iraq due to the poor security situation. Nathan King reports from New York.
It's not a complete evacuation, but it's pretty close. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan reportedly wants to keep a token presence in Iraq, but most UN staffers want to pull out completely from the country until the security situation improves. The decision to further reduce staff comes after a second bomb attack on the UN's compound in Baghdad earlier this week that killed two people and injured over 20. Even before the pullback begins, there are less than 100 UN workers in the whole of Iraq. Nathan King of the United Nations, New York.
The family of a weapons expert who is believed to have committed suicide is blaming the British government for using him as a pawn in the uproar over intelligence reports on Iraq. An attorney for the family of David Kelly, Jeremy Gompertz, is accusing the British government of publicly naming him so it could undermine a British Broadcasting Corporation report.
There was a strategy to out Dr. Kelly so that he could be used as a witness to undermine Mr. Gilligan in furtherance of the government's dispute with the BBC. This was a cynical abuse of power which deserves the strongest possible condemnation.
The BBC story accused British leadership of sexing up a pre-war dossier on Iraq's banned weapons so it could justify the war. Kelly was found dead with a slit wrist after being exposed as the source of the report, which has been disputed by the British government.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of three herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke Free completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
As the United Auto Workers Union hammers out new contracts with the big three automakers, some industry watchers predict the UAW will make up for expected job losses by organizing non-union suppliers. It could have an impact on the west side of Michigan, though industry analyst Aaron Merkel of IRN Incorporated doubts it.
I don't know how much of an impact it's going to have on this side of the state, just because, especially with a lot of the smaller suppliers, but I think that you're probably going to see more of the organization more at the tier one level than you would at the lower ranks in the supply group, say the tier two and tier three.
Merkel isn't convinced the push to organize larger parts suppliers will work, saying it'll be difficult. He says the higher costs that the big three are trying to bring down would simply be pushed off on the suppliers. He sees costs going up, but revenues not keeping pace.
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire grilled chicken, fire roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on a fresh baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over, the fire's ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Two Seattle doctors who are identical twin brothers are accused of sexually abusing a dozen female patients by impersonating each other. The alleged victims have now filed suit against the physicians. The attorney representing the plaintiff says the woman went to one doctor for examinations. He would remember patients' names and case histories. During their next visits, he could not recall their names or why they needed to be examined. The victims also claimed the doctor's weight would significantly change. One moment he was heavier set, the next moment he appeared quite a bit slimmer. Both doctors could not be reached for comment. Prosecutors are now looking into the matter and could file criminal charges by October 1st. Stocks had a down day today following a mixed batch of economic reports. The Dow Jones Industrial Averages fell 82 points to 93.44. The NASDAQ was down 27 to 18.17. The S&P fell by 6 to 10.03. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Name some things that are different. Apples, oranges, men, women, football, soccer. How about tune-ups? If you think they're all the same, think again. And when I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
Okay, so you want one good reason to get LoJack installed in your car. Well, unfortunately, I can't give you that. But I can give you three. LoJack has a 90% recovery success rate. LoJack has helped recover over 100,000 vehicles worldwide. And LoJack is the only stolen vehicle recovery system used by the police. So if you still want just one good reason to get LoJack, that last one should do quite nicely. To find a dealer near you, visit LoJack.com. And keep it close.
Why does your tune-up cost $500, but your neighbor's only $100? Apples and oranges. Although symptoms in two vehicles are similar, actual problems can vary dramatically. Here's what I mean. Your neighbor's V8 engine is running on 7 cylinders due to a bad plug wire. Tune-up cost, $100. Your V8 engine's also running on 7 cylinders, but it's due to a burned valve. Tune-up cost, 5 times $100. My advice, investigate the diagnosis before you relegate your wallet. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
This time we'll say bye to losing. Say bye to the song we can sing. This time we'll say bye to you.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio, as we fondly call this program. Thank you very much for joining us. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces. Phone number is 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. And you can email during the program, Mike D. Malloy at earthlink.net. Political trivia next hour. We have up for grabs two signed copies of our colleague Tom Hartman's book, Unequal Protection. So stick around for that. Also, we have some audio of poor Scott McClellan, whom we now refer to as Simple Scotty, at today's White House press briefing. You're not going to believe it. You're just not going to believe it. He seemed unable to understand the reporter's questions. Sad, actually. But beyond being sad, it demonstrates thorough contempt on the part of the White House for questions from these reporters. But it's fun to listen to. So we'll have that for you. All sorts of fun things on the program tonight. And if we can get to it, we have Uncle Mike's Story Corner, courtesy of Ted Rall, titled Why We Hate Bush. We may get to that, too. A couple of emails. Let me just clear these off real quick. Hi there. My name is Richard Morris from Toronto, Canada. I've contacted Mike several times, but he never seems to acknowledge any of my questions. Maybe because I'm from Canada. No, Richard. He goes on, actually, technically, I'm from Manchester, England, and I came here in 1983. Maybe you shouldn't tell him that, because if he finds out that I'm a limey, then he will definitely not answer me. Richard, where do you get these ideas? He goes on, I'm emailing you for two things, actually. The first thing is that the 800 number does not work from Canada. So is there another number I could call? I'd be happy to even pay long-distance charges. Also, because I cannot get on the air, could you maybe mention anything that you know about the Bohemian Grove? Well, first of all, Richard, I wish we have one Canadian caller has figured out how to bypass the system and make a call to this program. I wish thousands would call. Hoy, I wish our listeners in the UK would call, and we have bunches of them. But since we moved the program to 9 to midnight Eastern Time. It's actually going on in the UK, what, at 2, 3 in the morning is when it begins. So there's nothing I can do about that. But I don't know where you got the idea that because you're a Limey or a Canadian or whatever, I wouldn't want to talk to you. Are you crazy? Eh? As far as the Bohemian Grove, yeah, just I think most people know about it. It's where Republicans get unplugged and dance around naked, all men. They play with each other. You can interpret that any way you want. Kissinger goes there. All these Republicans go there, and it gives them a chance to act out their homosexual fantasies that you know, they shouldn't have to act out in private. They should be able to be gay as much as they want to be gay. Rather than spending their time bashing gays in order to cover up their own tendencies. But Bohemian Grove, just type Bohemian Grove into Google. You'll get more than you can handle. Oh, they do more there than act out on their homosexual fantasies. I understand that. But it's just, you know, it's grab ass. It's where Republicans go, take off their suits and their red ties and play grab ass for a long weekend. You know, cover themselves with mud and paint and jump around and look at each other's privates and go, you know, that's all. It's Bohemian Grove. Who's this from? This is from Kevin in, is it Barr, Massachusetts? B-A-R-R-E. Hi, Mike. Enjoy your show. Listening a day late through the WhiteRoseSociety.org's website. Yeah, that's the one from our Elgin, Ben, our Elgin Bureau Chief. Thank you, Ben. The writer, Kevin, says, I heard your conversation yesterday with Kodak, the truck driver, regarding the alleged god-awful intelligence regarding weapons of mass destruction that was provided to the administration, which was subsequently used as the basis to invade Iraq. You also discussed Hillary's criticisms of the intelligence and the billions spent on same. Just wanted to remind you, I'm sure you're already aware of this, of Rummy's run around the mainstream intelligence community by setting up a rogue outfit put together by Paul Wolfowitz called the Office of Special Plans. Remind you, Valley North and Iran-Contra, which provided bogus information, mostly from the Iraqi exiles like Ahmad Shalabi, whose questionable motives coincided with those of the oil-drenched imperialist Bush cabal. The bogus info was then aired throughout the country as fact. In effect, it was an office set up to manufacture evidence of WMDs to be used for propaganda purposes. Democracy in the USA? Democracy, shamocracy. And then he lists the article at antiwar.com, which I'm going to post at my website when the program's over tonight. Kevin in Barre, B-A-R-R-E, Massachusetts. Thank you, Kevin. And from Steve. Hi, Mike. I've heard you mention before in your program that you subscribe to Dish Network and enjoy watching Link and Free Speech TV channels on your service. I was a Dish Network subscriber for a couple of years and finally switched over to DirecTV about 2 weeks ago. I've discovered a channel on DirecTV called News World International that is amazing. It's on channel 366, and I believe they originate out of Canada. This is a refreshing view of world news that is not slanted like our American stations. Next time you have the desire to mention Free Speech TV on your program, you might want to give a quick mention of News World International for the folks who have DirecTV instead of Dish Network. Appreciate your time. Thank you, Steve. You bet, Steve. Are we ready to switch? Huh? Oh, it's owned by Murdoch? DirecTV? No, I thought he tried to buy it and couldn't. I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea. All right, what else we got? Jim, our Arkansas dude, who is also the music editor of this program, sent this in to me. He sent a little note with it, but I can't use it because Jim and I, when we email back and forth to each other, use some pretty crass and rough language. Even worse than I use on this program, believe it or not. Anyway, Jim sent this in. In case you missed it, blackboxvoting.org has been closed. Are you aware of that? If you go to blackboxvoting.org, now that's a website set up by Bev Harris to expose Diebold and what is going to happen in this country when we all use these freaky, corrupt voting machines November 2004. If you go to blackboxvoting.org, you get a notice that says, Due to a dispute with Diebold Incorporated and its wholly owned subsidiary, Diebold Election Systems Incorporated, which is claiming links to certain materials that do not reside on the Black Box Voting Org website, constitute copyright infringement, blackboxvoting.org has been temporarily disabled. We regret any inconvenience this may cause visitors and journalists to the blackboxvoting.org site and hope to have this matter resolved shortly. And then it redirects you. You can go to if you go to blackboxvoting.org, it will redirect you for the time being. But the effort, you see, to totally destroy. We've talked about this for what now? 2 years? Totally destroy representative government. The redistricting in Texas, the theft of the presidential election in Florida, the attempt to overthrow the government of California, black box voting being shut down. Do you not understand? Of course you do. Most of the questions I ask in this program are purely rhetorical questions because you folks provide the information, a lot of it. So of course you understand. But for the sake of rhetoric, do we, let's change the pronoun, do we understand completely and thoroughly what these right-wing bastards are doing, what these Republican thugs are doing? It is a full frontal assault on democracy, representative government, in this mad Republican rush to fascism. That's why I've said before, there's not a Republican in this country who's worth a pissant's footprints. All of them. I don't care. I don't care who they are. Whether they're Northeastern Republicans or relatives in your family or Republicans in California, they are all part and parcel of the same overarching conspiracy to destroy this country. Now, some of them may be so damn stupid that they don't understand what their party leadership is doing. That does not absolve them, as far as I'm concerned, with complicity and responsibility. Anyone who's a Republican in these times is a thug and a participant in mass murder and the destruction of this republic. Period. There is no debate on this. Now, there was a time when the Republican Party was a party of ideas. Retrograde ideas? Yeah, sure. Of course. They are cowards. They are capitalists to the nth degree. Nothing wrong with capitalism as long as it's bridled, as long as it's, in chains. You know, let it move around a little bit, but don't unchain it, or it will devour the entire planet. Republicans used to have some ideas. Retrograde. Stupid ideas. But some of them got through and became part of our legal system, our system of government. Okay, fair enough. But that Republican Party's gone. The Republican Party now is being manipulated by religious fanatics and people like the Carlyle Group, who want to make as much money as they can, destroy indigenous people, destroy the environment, blow everything to pieces, and somehow these dumbasses think they're going to survive this. Okay? So the Republican Party is a nest of vipers, snakes, worms, weasels, Tom DeLays, Newt Gingriches, George Bushes, all of these people. So the attack on Diebold... the attack on Bev Harris's blackboxvoting.org. There is to be no discussion in this country of the truth. There is to be no challenge to what these people are doing. If you set up a website to challenge challenge Diebold and you name it blackboxvoting.org, your ass is going down. Eventually, it's going down. Who's going to step in and defend you? There is no First Amendment in this country anymore. We have First Amendment zones. Bev Harris's big mistake was she stepped outside the zone. Have I said yet tonight how much I loathe and hate these people? Oh, my God. It's 19 minutes past the hour and I hadn't said it yet. I hate these people. Fight back, damn it.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Boy, I remember the good old days.
Yeah, when was that?
2003, of course, when interest rates were at historic lows and we knew the economy was turning around. What an historic opportunity. We really jumped on it. How'd you do?
Well,
we needed to expand our manufacturing and warehousing, so we called General Steel Corporation and ordered buildings engineered for our area and to meet our needs. And with the stucco and rock products provided by the General, our buildings look great.
How will you look back at this historic opportunity? Small business owners know that now is the best time to build that new warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space. Whether you need a 60 by 200 foot building for under $50,000 or a 100 by 175 for under $98,000, call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need to expand your business, you need the General. If your church or school needs to build quickly and save money, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is... what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Bill in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, posting on our message board. The doorbell rang and I answered the door just as I finished posting how fed up I am with Bush. What a surprise. The guy standing in front of my door was very Republican look about him. His first words to me were, "Hi, I am your Republican precinct captain." Boy, has this guy got the wrong address, I said to myself. But not before I made it known to him that I consider Bush a menace to America. He started squirming and glancing around the front of my house. Our junkie responds. He says, "I remember when the only people we had to worry about meeting on our doorsteps were Jehovah Witness crusaders. Now we have right-wingers. That's really scary." How to scare off door-to-door Republican visitors. And Klaus adds, "Well, answering the door naked can have the desired effect."
For Christ's sake, will you cover yourself?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Well, MSNBC is carrying, is this a live debate? Oh, okay. Yeah, so if you are watching that, that's cool. I'm watching it, too, during the breaks here. Wasn't there a debate just the other night? What the hell's going on? Democrats, will somebody maybe clarify that for me? I don't know if this, I guess this is live. Does it say live? Or is this just a rebroadcast? I have no earthly idea. Michael is calling from Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, Michael.
Oh, hello, Michael.
How are you doing?
Am I Michael 2 and you're Michael 1?
There you go.
Okay. Do you feel like talking about last night's debate, or is that still yesterday's news?
The California thing?
Yeah.
Sure. it was just a comedy of errors. I think Gray Davis made the point. I heard somebody say that Gray Davis said, this is a good reason to keep me as governor, just watching these clowns last night, you know? And I, you know, I have nothing against Peter, the Green candidate, and I kind of like Arianna Huffington as a writer. But you
that's
know
exactly what I said.
Yeah, not as a governor of California. It was just a ridiculous situation out there. Oh well.
Well, I thought Peter looked the best of all of them, actually. Especially
yeah.
to the average Joe who thinks Greens, you know, chain themselves to trees and
well, I said last night during the debate he was the only one making any sense, which is usually the case when you have a Green candidate in a debate. That Green candidate is going to be the only one not spouting political rhetoric. He's going to be the only one, or she is going to be the only one, telling it, you know, what America just can't stand to hear.
Right, right.
So I don't know.
I thought Arnold was, he didn't say anything real stupid other than the comment about having a role for Arianna, which I didn't get until today because I haven't seen Terminator 4 or 3.
Well, he said something about driving his Hummer through the tax cut that got Arianna Huffington.
Well, actually, the one that I thought was a little stupid, was probably lost on most people, was he had a role for her in his next Terminator movie, and I didn't get that until hearing today that there's a scene in his movie, Terminator 3, where he dunks a woman's head
in the toilet.
Bowl.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
I thought,
yeah,
that's a little ugly, but most people probably missed it. Now, this is probably going to set the hair on the back of your neck up, but I thought if I had to rank the performances, McClintock came in number 2, I thought. I thought he looked, you know, despite being a flying monkey, he looked pretty responsible and you know, didn't seem to be a fire-breathing radical that he probably is.
Well, so did George Bush.
I don't know about that.
Well, back during the debates in 2000, 1999 and 2000, I'm not saying Bush looked reasonable. He looked like an out-of-his-depth moron. He looked like a monkey even back then. But it turns out where Bush tried to paint himself as a centrist, compassionate conservative, he turns out to be a Hitlerite. So, I don't trust any of the... I hate Republicans, all of them. McClintock, I don't care. They all can go right down the commode as far as I'm concerned, because they are liars. Their entire philosophy, their party, everything about them is based on lies and deception.
Well, I agree with you. I'm just speaking strictly of his performance. I thought...
Well, performance, yeah, okay.
He didn't put on that air of... he certainly didn't have to say, I'm a compassionate conservative. He's very forthright that he's far on the right.
He looks like an executioner to me. He, you know, my fantasy of an executioner. I've never seen one. The only thing missing from the guy was a huge axe and a hood. You know?
Well, and that's what he has in mind if he becomes governor. He's going to cut everything.
Bingo.
He's going to cut everything. I thought Cruz was a little shy in retiring. Maybe that was his strategy, but I thought I almost forgot he was there.
Well, he's a democratic apparatchik. Is that how you say it? He's a bureaucrat. And you know, as far as I'm concerned, I would rather have on the state level and on the federal level, all the way up to the president's cabinet, I would rather have bureaucrats, just people who do the damn job. Shut up. Don't get so ideological. Do the job we're paying you to do. You want to hold on a second? You want to hold on a second?
Yes, yes.
All right, Michael. Hold on. We'll come back to you right after the break. Since we don't have any other callers and no reason to move forward rapidly, hey, lots of open lines. 800-TALK-YES.
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire grilled chicken, fire roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on a fresh baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. Big Blue may be in big trouble. IBM faces lawsuits in California, Minnesota, and New York from former workers at microchip plants who allege the company knew it was exposing people to dangerous chemicals but did nothing to stop it. This week, lawyers for the California plaintiffs received what they call a corporate mortality file produced by IBM. The document tracks the deaths of some 30,000 microchip workers over the course of 30 years and suggests that IBM knew they were dying of cancer at higher rates than the general population. IBM won't comment on its content, but says the documents were supposed to remain confidential. A hearing on the California case takes place tomorrow.
When six unions representing Amtrak employees walk off the job next week, they won't be joined by the largest union of workers at the passenger rail company. The six unions, led by the Transport Workers Union, say the one-day strike is necessary to draw lawmakers' attention to Amtrak's funding woes. But while Amtrak's largest union, the Transportation Communications Union, calls the protest well-intentioned, it worries that a work stoppage will backfire and alienate swing voters. A total of 5,000 of Amtrak's 18,500 workers are scheduled to strike 1 week from tomorrow. Amtrak has asked the federal government for $1.8 billion next year. The Senate has earmarked nearly $500 million less, while the White House has suggested cutting Amtrak's request in half.
12,000 loggers along the coast of British Columbia are waiting for the queue to walk off their jobs. The Industrial Wood and Allied Workers of Canada gave the BC logging industry a 72-hour strike notice on Monday. No formal strike date was announced, but it could begin as early as today. Loggers want to restart contract talks that broke down in August when industry representatives walked away from the bargaining table.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
Okay, so Kathy informs me either via a caller or her own research. This is the debate was carried on CNBC today at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, that's a great time to have a presidential debate, isn't it? Candidates debate. Isn't that a great time? So it's a rebroadcast here in prime time. Thank you. Duh. Okay, back to Michael. Go ahead, Michael, on the California thing.
Yeah, I think Arnold and Ariana were the last two. I haven't seen a whole lot of Arnold's stump speeches so far, but paying real attention to what he said or didn't say last night, he gets up there and said things like, well, we've got to turn this economy around so people can have jobs and pay taxes and get this budget mess turned around. Well,
yeah.
You don't need the Terminator to figure that out. Homer Simpson could have figured that out.
Right.
I guess his campaign strategy is just to get up there and keep mouthing these meaningless platitudes and dazzle everybody with his star power.
I think you're right. Every time I look at him, you know, I see the first Terminator movie, which I thought was just a hell of a lot of fun. All I see is this movie actor freak. You know, if I lived in California, I would just—I don't know. I guess I'd move to Arizona. Michael, thanks for checking in.
All right,
sir. You have a nice evening. God, Arnold Schwarzenegger. We mentioned this last night, or I mentioned it last night. There was just one part in that debate last night that I thought was hysterically funny, and that's when, and I'm sorry, am I making fun of their accents? Yes, I am. That was when Arianna Huffington stumbled all over her Greek pronunciations of Americanized English, and Schwarzenegger was stumbling all over his Austrian pronunciations of Americanized English, and it was just funny. It was funny to me. I'm just sitting here going, oh, man, look at this. Oh, well, whatever. But that's America. See, there was a time when Italians would butcher the English language, Americanized English, they run for office, and Middle Eastern Jews would butcher the American language, and Irish would butcher, yeah, okay, so, and they got laughed at, so.
Oh, Mike, you're not being very politically correct.
NBC, Wall Street Journal poll, Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll released last night. 15 months before the presidential election, and Bush and his thugs have their work cut out for them. 49%. Lowest point in his tenure. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? Their work is cut out for them, NBC says. MSNBC says. Yeah, you bet. So look for another war.
That's right. But you didn't go on.
In addition, 9 million Americans unemployed. Today it was announced that OPEC, or last night it was announced, OPEC is going to cut output ahead of the peak winter heating demand season, and that's going to push the price of oil higher. Remember when we were told that once the neocon thugs used our military to take over Iraq? Oh, well, we're going to have Iraqi oil again. We're going to push it up capacity. There is no Iraqi oil that's available. Oh, it's there. But these clowns, these jackasses who are running the country now, Paul Bremer and his collection of pirates, they don't know how to get it out of the ground. They can't do it, even with Halliburton, even with Kellogg, Brown, and Root. Every time they dig a hole, some Iraqi nationalist comes over and blows it up. Just a few months ago, when the Bush thugs were saying that Iraq would be able to pay for much of the cost of its own reconstruction by selling oil on world markets. Hello? Where's that? Now, there's more here. 56% of the people in the NBC News Wall Street Journal poll, when asked about various options for raising the money to pay for the Iraq project, that's what MSNBC calls it now, the Iraq project. Isn't that nice? Huh? We have dead Americans. We have 310. How many wounded? How many injured? 2,000? How many dead Iraqis? And MSNBC calls it a project? Oh, well. Presented in the NBC News Wall Street Journal poll with various options for raising the money to pay for the Iraq project, 56% of respondents said they'd opt for repealing the portion of the tax cuts passed last May that benefit upper-income taxpayers. Ooh, class warfare, class warfare, class warfare. Now, why do 56% of Americans say that now? Why couldn't 56% of Americans last May say, wait a minute? Why should this money be taken out of my pocket, away from my state government, out of my mom, grandmom's nursing home, away from roads and repairs and bridges, and put in the pockets of the top 1% in this country? No, we need to have a war. We are stupid. We are beyond stupid. Maybe we're coming out of the ether, though, if only 49% still support this jackass? Unbelievable, isn't it? Un-freaking-believable. Now, for Bush to repeal any portion of the tax cuts is unthinkable. Remember his daddy. Read my lips. No, no taxes. And then he increased the taxes and they threw his ass out. The Republicans threw him out. They voted for Ross Perot. On the other hand, for Bush to rescind or cut or get his shills, his thugs, his posse in Congress to cut the taxes, it wouldn't benefit him. It would gain him no credit among those voters who are already inclined to boot him out of office. Worse still, what about core Republican loyalists? Eh? They would dismember him, figuratively speaking.
So he's stuck. Hello, tar baby. I hope you choke on it, George. I hope this is the biggest pretzel you ever tried to swallow. Tax cut for the for your supporters, huh? Choke on it, George, and you're going to. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, truth seekers. Unless there is a military takeover of this country, unless these thugs and punks and pirates cheat egregiously, which they will, they'll attempt to do it. If they get away with it, if they're not found out, they will be defeated. If they can cheat, just like the redistricting in Texas, just like the assault on the governor's office in California, just like the theft of the... These people have nothing to offer the American public. That's why they have to lie, cheat, and steal. Nothing. And maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it. Because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country or another war. Or something about Bush. Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy, sympathy. You know, 2 weeks before. You know what I'm talking about. In another question from the poll released last night, 52% disapproved of Bush's handling of the economy. Really? Really? It's his highest disapproval rating ever, and the first time it has been above 50%. That speaks volumes, again, about our stupidity. It's taken us 3 years to realize what this punk, this thug, and his cohorts are doing to us financially? If 52% disapprove, well, I figure 10% who say, I don't have any opinion. That means 38% still approve of this moron. Now, what do these numbers mean, 49%? Well, maybe nothing. Maybe nothing, because MSNBC provided me here with some stats. At the start of 1948, only 41% of Gallup poll respondents said they would vote for Harry Truman. He ended up winning. At the start of 1980, only 31% of Gallup responders said they'd vote for Republican Ronald Reagan. On Election Day, he crushed incumbent Jimmy Carter in an historic landslide. Right? Many observers wrote off Bill Clinton, President Bill Clinton, as irrelevant in early 1995 after Republicans won control of the House and the Senate, and Clinton easily defeated Bob Dole to win a second term. So what do these numbers mean? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But they are fun to read. They're fun to talk about. I think they do mean something this time, though, you see, because Bush's criminality, his lies, his deceptions, his inability to lead or to govern, and the venality of his entire administration, I think, maybe, possibly, is starting to manifest to us common voters. Now, I'm not talking about the people who participate in this program. We are not common. We get the information. We stay informed. But I bet you that nobody who listens to this program got polled by NBC Wall Street Journal. So, letting the ripples reach out a bit to the common voter beyond us, they're starting to realize it. Now, the last thing it says here, among Democratic activists, that would be you, that would be me. When a reporter asks about Bush, the emotions one hears expressed are a kind of bewildered anger, even rage. Really? Yes. Bush makes Democrats' blood boil as Richard Nixon did 30 years ago. Really? 8255. The mention of this punk's name should cause every patriotic, America-loving American to go berserk. Just the mention of his name. And do anything to get him out of office that's legal. Anything to get him out of office. Now, among swing voters, last little bit here. Among swing voters, the danger point for Bush, according to MSNBC, would be if they, swing voters, felt contempt. If they regarded him as incompetent. What? You mean there are people in this country who don't see swing voters? Oh, I know the Republican core. They see him as just an absolute Jesus walks on water. That's because they are half-wits. But swing voters will turn against him if they regard him as incompetent? Hello, swing voters? What do you call what you see in the Bush administration? Down the street in Washington, in Iraq and Afghanistan at the UN? What do you call that?
Incompetence?
Bingo! And Gallup poll data that was published earlier this week showed that if the election were held today, Bush would lose to either Wesley Clark or John Kerry. And this little weasel, this little baby-faced killer, this little neo-Nazi Ralph Reed was on O'Reilly. I would open a vein before I'd watch that. Who's the other guy? The other Irishman, Chris Matthews. Chris Matthews had... I heard you. I heard you. The person out there said, "Well, Mike, you said you never watch these people." When I'm trapped in here in the studio, sometimes I will, depending on who the guest is. But there was this little snake, this little neo-Nazi, this little Hitlerite, Ralph Reed, this little Christian coalition thug punk who I hope someday goes to prison for the rest of his life, saying that Bush could defeat any of the Democratic contenders. Ralph, of course, everybody knows you're a liar. You defile the name of Jesus Christ. You piss all over the Christian faith when you ran the Christian Coalition. You and your junked out, freaked out boss, Pat Robertson. You are an abomination, Ralph Reed. You're going to burn in hell, your hell, until there's nothing left. And then they're going to reconstruct you and burn you again. But for Ralph Reed to be talking to the terminally brain-dead faithful Republicans, these half-wits I was talking about a minute ago, and saying, and lying, they all lie. Every time a Republican or a Christian coalition types or one of these evangelical Christian right-wing types opens his or her mouth, out tumble snakes, spiders, lies, vermin, vomit, garbage, old tin cans, newspapers. Okay. It's about time for Detroit to play that promo, the one about here Malloy had blew an artery on the program. No, I'm not upset. I really am not. It's drama. It's just drama. It's just drama. Kathy's sitting out there just wringing her hands.
Honey, please.
Oh my God. All right. Where are we? We're here. Luke is calling from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, did you call last night, Luke?
No, not last night.
Oh, okay.
No. I was reading tonight you were talking about the Rowell piece.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading the Michael Thomasy piece in American Prospect. It's called Wrong Again, about the right trying to link Clark to the Clintons.
Right, right.
He essentially says, go ahead and link him to the Clintons. The Clintons are still popular with most of the Americans.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's like somebody was talking the other day, we were talking about it, I said, hell, look at Bill Clinton. He could go to England and be elected prime minister. I mean, and he probably went in a landslide.
Yeah, I've said it before. I'd love to have Bill Clinton back, given the choices that we have. But Bill Clinton was the best Republican president we've ever had, and he did a fairly good job, except for his criminal attack on Yugoslavia. He did a fairly good job.
Well, I look at it this way. I think of him as what Lieberman wants to be, a really conservative Democrat.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the right side of our party, which is fine. I mean, you need both sides of the party.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like saying you just go back and forth.
Right. In the Democratic Party, we do. We need the conservatives, the middle of the roaders, and the liberals, because that's the reality.
Because you can't stay with one group all the time. You got to kind of balance back and forth there. You know, a little bit of the middle, a little bit of the left, a little bit of the center, the right.
There you go.
I mean, that's okay. But the part I liked was I was reading Molly Ivins today.
Mm-hmm.
It's called No Mystery Here, Folks.
Yeah.
And she's talking about this idea now that apparently like Novak and Krauthammer are saying about anybody who attacks George Bush are Bush haters.
Oh, yeah.
And they're talking about how Novak said, in all his 44 years, he's never seen anything like this. And Molly says, I just turned my memory back to the last president. Yes, I've seen this.
That's
before.
Right. That's right. That's absolutely right. What these right wing apologists, scribe thugs, are talking about, like Novak and Krauthammer, they have never seen us Democrats. Generally speaking, a lot of us hated Nixon. A lot of us hated Reagan. But
we respected the office.
Yeah, and no longer, because Bush has just come in there, unzipped his pants, and peed all over the presidency.
Well, the thing of it is, it's like, okay, we put up with 8 years of them doing everything they could to Clinton. And it's like
Clinton was doing a good job, other than his murderous attack on Central Europe.
You got to remember, these are people who went after his family. They went after his mother.
Absolutely, absolutely.
They went after everybody.
Well, I hope Charles Krauthammer and Bob Novak and the rest of these people just choke. I hope they choke on what they're seeing. Hey, thanks, Luke.
Hey, what?
What?
I wish you could talk about the Talking Points memo. He had a two-parter this week with Joe Wilson, the ambassador.
Oh, yeah.
Really good read.
Former ambassador. Okay.
Yeah. All righty then.
Thank you, Luke. Appreciate you checking in.
Politicians got lipstick on the collar. The whole media started to holler. But I don't give up who they screwing in private. I want to know who they screwing in public. Robbing, cheating, stealing, white collar criminal, McDonald eating. You deserve a beating. Send your home a weeping with the fat bill for your Caribbean weekend. But just about minutes.
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on the fresh-baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Hi, I'm Stephen Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Stephen at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Doolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Doolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
I think American people, now that they've realized I'm going to seek re-election, expect me to seek re-election.
He's so stupid. Oh, my God, he's stupid. Karen is calling from Victoria, Texas. Hi, Karen. This is your first time calling, right?
You bet it is. Well, I just wanted to mention a couple of things to you. One was the op-ed piece out of the L.A. Times about the candidates debate, the recall candidates debate last night. Did you pick that up?
I did not. Was it funny?
Oh, it was cute, yes. Sacramento Windstorm, the televised five-candidate debate show in Sacramento Wednesday night, fell somewhere between a World Wrestling Federation event and a pie fight. The moderator, Stan Statham of the California Broadcasters Associated, needed a whistle and a striped shirt.
Well, you know, something somebody sent us about him, the moderator, so-called, was a former Republican candidate, I think, in 1994 to be lieutenant governor of California. How about that?
I had no idea.
I didn't either.
Y'all must have been very comfortable.
Yeah, really. Really.
Hey, I was wondering if you caught CBS News this evening.
I did not. We do not get the networks on our monitors here in the studio. We only get the cable news networks because we figure if there's a crisis while we're in here, CNN will cover it, whereas local affiliates, they probably would too. But what was on CBS that we missed?
There was a real brief hit about WMD in the K report and how it's being downplayed.
Right.
And then there was a couple of mentions of how Colin Powell in February 2001 was commenting about the UN sanctions keeping Saddam Hussein contained. And then,
I've got that quote.
Oh, yeah. And then Cheney, of course, even after 9/11, makes some comments about him being all bottled up with the sanctions. And then, you know, shortly thereafter, we get this turnaround from George W. About the grave and gathering danger.
Right, and Colin Powell had to go in and turn himself into a contorted liar in front of his colleagues at the UN. And when we come back after the break, I will read his statement. It's at buzzflash.com. I think it's there right now. It's his statement. It's titled, "Did Colin Powell Lie to the U.S. and the U.N.?" And the answer, of course, is yes.
Oh, well, contortion is a good word for that. I mean, the guy needs to just, you know, resign and go join the Cirque du Soleil or something. We were really disappointed in him when he made those maneuvers. We thought he was a more stand-up guy than that.
Yeah,
even liberals here in Texas thought that.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, Karen, thanks for checking in. I hope you're going to call again.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, you have a nice
evening.
Okay, bye-bye. Quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why put something on that says he's a great goof, liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. A member of Iraq's governing council has died from gunshot wounds suffered in an attack over the weekend. Gunmen shot Akila al-Hashemi in the abdomen Saturday as she was riding in a car outside Baghdad. U.S. Commander of Land Forces in Iraq, Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, read a statement by Paul Bremer.
Through her steadfast commitment to a free, democratic, and peaceful Iraq, Dr. Akila al-Hashemi served as an inspiration to her nation. We mourn her passing.
Akila al-Hashemi was being treated at the U.S. military hospital when she died. Three others in the car were also injured. Some neighbors and politicians say al-Hashemi had received death threats for working with Americans. She was one of three women on the 25-member council. All 10 Democratic presidential candidates took part in a debate at Pace University in New York. Former NATO Commander Wesley Clark just announced his candidacy last week, and he's among the group taking part in the event sponsored by the Wall Street Journal and CNBC-TV. Clark was the first to speak and was questioned about his allegiance. He was said he's proud to be a Democrat and speaks with a Democratic voice despite supporting the Reagan administration.
Are you a prescription plan member who uses Clarinex, Zyrtec, or Allegra for allergy relief? Then you should know that many plans are changing the coverage level on your nasal allergy medicine, which might cost you more money. Don't let nasal allergy relief cost you more this year. Just ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray 50 micrograms. Flonase is approved to relieve the nasal symptoms from pollen, dust mites, pet dander, pollution, smoke, and strong odors. More triggers than any leading allergy medicine. Comparable efficacy and safety among Flonase and these products has not been established. For best results, use Flonase daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. To learn more about Flonase, see our ad in Fitness Magazine. Visit www.flonase.com or call 1-800-FLONASE. If the copayment for your allergy medicine is costing you more money, ask your doctor if Flonase is right for you. All it takes is Flonase.
The inquiry into the death of British government advisor Dr. David Kelly has adjourned. Lord Hutton will now spend the next few months writing his report. He has 15 key questions to answer, including what happened in the lead-up to the scientist's apparent suicide and whether the government misrepresented intelligence. Suzanne Chislett reports.
The inquiry has heard from 74 witnesses over 22 days of oral evidence. Thousands of pages of documents have been submitted, and for the first time, many of the inner workings of the British government have been revealed, as much of the information has been posted on the inquiry's website. Lord Hutton has now heard closing statements from lawyers acting for the inquiry, the BBC, Dr. Kelly's family, the government, and journalist Andrew Gilligan, and it's now time for him to write his conclusions.
I will write and deliver my report as quickly as I can. But I hope that the report will be delivered in December, and it's possible that it may be delivered in November.
The next few weeks will be an anxious wait for some in the British government, but the inquiry has already led to changes in working practices at the BBC, and the Prime Minister's press office also has a new boss after spin doctor Alistair Campbell quit in what he said was an unrelated move. Suzanne Chislett, London.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
The House has approved a bill that will keep the government running when the fiscal year ends this month. It passed by an overwhelming majority and is expected to do the same when it's considered by the Senate next week. Lawmakers are supposed to clear 13 spending bills to fund the government by September 30th every year. They rarely make the deadline. Last year, the deadlock over federal spending priorities lasted until the middle of February. The Republicans had anticipated the fight over the budget to be smoother this year since they control both houses of Congress, but skyrocketing federal deficits and the cost of the war in Iraq are expected to make things more difficult. Stocks were down today following data showing orders for durable goods were down last month. The Dow Jones Industrials fell 82 points to 93.44. The Nasdaq lost 27 to close at 18.17. The S&P 500 fell by 6 to 10.03. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Your car coughing, sputtering, riding rough? Think your service center has one magic machine that checks everything? Oh, no. One size doesn't fit all. When I come back, I'll give you the scope. The scoop.
Okay, so you want one good reason to get LoJack installed in your car. Well, unfortunately, I can't give you that. But I can give you three. LoJack has a 90% recovery success rate. LoJack has helped recover over 100,000 vehicles worldwide. And LoJack is the only stolen vehicle recovery system used by the police. So if you still want just one good reason to get LoJack, that last one should do quite nicely. To find a dealer near you, visit LoJack.com. And keep it close.
Just like in a doctor's office, different diagnostic tools are used for different symptoms in service centers. A scope performs an EKG on your car's electrical system and checks engine functions as it runs, just like a patient on a treadmill. A scanner, on the other hand, talks with car's onboard computers and sensors, like getting a patient history. But if your car has new noises, hard steering, bumpy ride, or vibrating brakes, you don't need a machine test. You need a doctor, a qualified, experienced technician. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Now, Karen in Texas was talking about this quote. This is Colin Powell on February 24th, 2001. He's talking about sanctions on Iraq that have been in effect at that point for about 12 years, and those sanctions, or 10 years, and those sanctions thwarting any attempt by Saddam Hussein to develop weapons of mass destruction. He said about the sanctions, frankly, they have worked. He, Saddam, has not developed any significant capability with respect to weapons of mass destruction. He is unable to project conventional power against his neighbors. So, in effect, our policies have strengthened the security of the neighbors of Iraq, and these are policies that we are going to keep in place, but we'll always be willing to review them and make sure they're being carried out in a way that does not affect the Iraqi people, but does affect the Iraqi regime's ambitions and the ability to acquire weapons of mass destruction. So his statement, he, Saddam, has not developed any significant capability with respect to weapons of mass destruction. He is unable even to project conventional power against his neighbors. Okay? Now, David, who was listening to Karen's conversation with me, said Keith Olbermann's show tonight confronted Bush with a tape of Powell stating exactly that, that Iraq had no weapons of mass destruction. They confronted Bush with this and asked him about it. Bush said that tape was before 9/11, and 9/11 changed everything. But didn't Bush just say this week that there was no Iraq connection to 9/11? Amazing, David writes. Everything that comes out of their mouths is a lie. Everything. Now, I'll tell you what we ought to do right now. Let me show you how bad it's getting with the crack White House press corps and Scotty McClellan, Simple Scotty. Let's hold off on this one about Ashcroft until I get to the Ashcroft story, Kathy. But Scott McClellan, Kathy refers to him as a surfer dude, and she now has decided to call him Simple Scotty. Because he is. I don't know why they put this guy out there. The crack White House press corps is turning him into hamburger meat. But here we go. He's hammered today with questions about weapons of mass destruction and Bush's obvious contradictory statements on Saddam, Iraq, and these alleged weapons. A reporter asks, Scott, the president has said that since the war, America is safer. And not just America, but our allies are safer as well, because Saddam Hussein will never be able to use weapons of mass destruction. So, if you're unable to account for Hussein, for his weapons of mass destruction, or the materials to make them, how can you make such a claim?
His brutal regime has been removed from power. We have captured or killed many of the Deck of 55 that is often referred to. So we are continuing to go on the offensive and pursue remnants of the former regime as well as foreign terrorists, and we are bringing those people to justice.
What? Well, no. That's not even in the same county as the question the reporter asked you, Scotty, but never mind. So another reporter steps up and tries to clarify the point. If you can't find Saddam or his weapons of mass destruction that you claim exist, how do you know America's safer? Like, maybe Saddam is in hiding. Maybe he gave his weapons to Syria. How can you say, Scott, that Americans are safer now? Actually, reporters said, quote, Scott, you've never been able to say whether those weapons, whether actual weapons or weapons parts or weapons anything, may have been spirited out of the country. And again, since you can't account for them, and you can't account for him, how do you know that everybody's safe? Now, maybe Scotty's just not bright enough to understand the question because he doesn't answer the question.
You can speculate all you want, but it doesn't change the facts. Dr. K is continuing to do his job, lead the Iraqi survey group, and pull together a complete and full picture of Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction and his weapons of mass destruction programs.
Oh, my God. Okay, a third reporter steps up and tries to speak very slowly so Scotty gets the point. He asks, but Scott, you just missed the focus of David's question, which is, how can the president say one thing is for sure, Saddam will never transfer weapons of mass destruction to terrorists, when you don't know where Saddam is and you don't know where these weapons are? And Simple Scotty still doesn't get it, so he and the reporter have a little back and forth.
Been removed from power, and it's a matter of time before we find him. This is one person who no longer has the power to oppress his people, to invade his neighbors. He is removed from power.
If you don't know where he is and you don't know where the weapons are, how can you be sure he won't transfer weapons to terrorists?
Because the full might of the American military is pursuing him and going to find him. It will be a matter of time.
Listen, you almost feel sorry for this little twit, don't you? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And Scotty says this is one person who no longer has the power to oppress his people, to invade his neighbors. But didn't Colin Powell state in March of 2001, for God's sake, before the country was devastated by our attack, didn't Colin Powell say he doesn't even have conventional weapons and no power to invade his neighbors? What Colin Powell was doing at the time was trying to show the American public and whoever else wanted to get in on the con how effective 10 years of sanctions had been up to that point. So here's poor Scotty. Because the full-minded American military... Oh, Jesus. Now, apparently Simple Scotty missed the memo from Bush stating that everybody had to stop trying to link Saddam to 911, right? A reporter says, Scott, going back very briefly to the K report, is it going to be made public in whole or in part? And does the president believe the American people are owed an accounting of what weapons of mass destruction threat was actually found?
He's made very clear that we'll pull together a complete picture so that we can uncover the full extent of his weapons of mass destruction and his weapons of mass destruction program. but let's remember that the most dangerous threat we face in a post-September 11th world is the nexus between outlaw regimes with weapons of mass destruction and terrorists. And in a post-September 11th world, we cannot wait to confront threats before they reach our shores. Saddam Hussein had a history of weapons of mass destruction.
Maybe before you were born, you little jackass. Did Scotty not get the memo? There is no connection between 9/11 and Saddam. It came out of the Bush bastard's own mouth. It's come out of all their mouths. Condi Rice. Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, all of them. Scotty, hello. But you notice what Scotty's doing here. He's made very clear that we'll put together a complete picture so that we can uncover the full extent of his weapons of mass destruction and his weapons of mass destruction program. Now, that's the second time in four sound bites that I've played where Scotty has had two things, the WMDs and the WMD program. The program. Don't forget the programs. There are all kinds of... No, that's not what I remember, Scotty. I don't remember Bush stating in last year's State of the Union address that we were going to commit a mass murder on the Iraqi people because of programs. We were going to commit a mass murder on the Iraqi people and a destruction of the tin-horned tyrant Saddam Hussein, the biggest threat to the world since Adolf Hitler. That's what his pappy said all those years ago. We were going to do that because, Scotty, Saddam Hussein had a nuclear weapons program. Saddam Hussein had drone aircraft that could deliver atom bombs to America. We're going to attack because Saddam Hussein had thousands of gallons of anthrax boiling and bubbling in pots all over the country. And didn't Dick Cheney, or was it Colin Powell, say, we know right where they are. And also thousands of liters of anthrax just waiting to be unleashed. And wasn't it Condi Rice that said, we don't want the smoking gun to be a mushroom cloud? So no, Scotty, we're not looking for programs. We are not looking for notes in some Iraqi scientist notebook. Wednesday, build nuclear weapon. Thursday, stir up the anthrax. Friday, check on the sarin gas. No, Scotty! Weapons! Death! Mega death! Millions of dead! Don't you remember, Scotty? Jesus. Last question on Iraq before the reporters gave up in exasperation. Scott, you said that the United Nations has voiced its commitment to helping Iraq get back on its feet. But this withdrawing of UN people, the last 100 people that they have there, isn't this a message of no confidence in the United States' ability to pacify the country, to put some kind of security in place? You don't consider the UN withdrawing an embarrassment of any sort?
They're looking at their security concerns, and they're working to address those. We understand some of their decisions, and the coalition is continuing to work with them to address these concerns as well. But make no mistake that the United Nations has played a vital role. They have a vital role to continue to play. We believe that they should be involved in the process of leading up to free elections and drafting a constitution.
Oh, my God. the UN has pulled out. Kofi Annan announced we had 600 people, UN had 600 people in that country prior to the first bombing of the UN building that claimed the lives of 20-some people. 600 UN workers trying to repair the damage, trying to handle the situation created by George Bush. Now, they were down to 60, and Kofi Annan says they are all being taken out, removed. The UN is pulling out because of George W. Bush.
Now, we have no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th.
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire grilled chicken, fire roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on a fresh baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Boy, I can't believe I didn't do it. I really missed the boat. Interest rates were at historic lows. I knew the economy was turning around. I could have called General Steel and saved a ton of money on the building I needed, and I'd be ready for the new economy. Yep, I really blew it.
Will this be you? Perhaps a year from now. Let General Steel Corporation show you how to take advantage of this unique moment in history. A steel building from the General will save you time and money compared to conventional construction. And you can hold your building delivery for up to 1 year with a small deposit. Small business owners know that now is the best time to build and prepare for the new economy. Whether you need a 60 by 200 foot building for under $15,000 or 100 by 175 for under $98,000, call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need manufacturing or warehouse space, you need the General. If your church or school needs to expand quickly and save money, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL. This moment in history won't last forever. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Oh, joy! The sweet song of democracy will soon emanate from the closed boardrooms of corporate America for the first time. Or so the headlines led us to believe when the SEC recently proposed new rules to change the way that members of corporate boards are chosen. Change certainly is long overdue, for these private fiefdoms that rule our land are more secretive, autocratic, and ruthless than the mafia. Despite slogans like shareholder democracy, no democracy is tolerated within these iron-fisted hierarchies. Yes, the boards of directors technically are elected by shareholders, but these elections are Kremlin-style, with shareholders getting only one slate of candidates hand-picked by the CEO. Even if a majority of shareholders vote against these chosen ones, the shareholders are simply ignored, and the incumbents stay on the board. In the wake of Enron and other corporate calamities, however, the public demanded reform, and now George W.'s SEC is responding with rules to allow shareholder opponents of imperious corporate management to put their own board candidates on the ballot and vote the incumbents out. Sounds good. Vote them out is the essence of democracy. But we've learned that a Bush reform almost always is an imposter wearing the mask of reform. The powerhouse CEOs who finance and essentially run the Bushites government are not about to let the SEC mess with their power, so they made sure that these so-called reforms are nothing but silky shams to protect the status quo. For example, only very large shareholders will be allowed to nominate an opposing candidate, and even then only rarely. Worse, the outsiders will be allowed to elect no more than one or two members of the board, even if more actually win. the controlling majority will still be handpicked by the CEO. This is Jim Hightower saying, this isn't reform, much less democracy. It's a fraud.
Saddam Hussein aids and protects terrorists, including members of Al-Qaeda.
Really, George? But you're contradicting... Oh, never mind. All right, very quickly, let's get our question of the evening out here. You can win one of two copies of my colleague Tom Hartman's new book, which all you have to do is get the right answer here. Unequal Protection is the book. Two signed copies. Here is your question. Rumsfeld and others in this criminal administration keep stressing the vast assistance of the coalition that the U.S. has received from foreign troops. Of the approximately 170,000 soldiers in Iraq, how many of them are from foreign countries, these 36 countries that the Bush crime family keeps referring to? Is it approximately, would it be A, approximately 50,000? B, approximately 40,000? C, approximately 20,000? Okay? Rumsfeld and the thugs in this administration keep stressing the vast assistance that the United States has received in terms of foreign troops from all these foreign countries who are a part of the coalition. So, of the approximately 170,000 troops now in Iraq, foreign troops, you know, not Iraqis, how many of these 170,000 are from countries other than the United States? Is it A, approximately 50,000, B, approximately 40,000, or C, approximately 20,000? I wish Kathy had come up with a shorter question. But anyway, there it is. There's the question and your choices, and if you get this right, this one's a lot easier than it was the other night when we wanted Negroponte's name. Boy, what a thug he is. Anyway, the prize, and we'll do this again tomorrow night. We have given away, last week we gave away 10 copies of Hightower's new book. This week we gave away 10 copies of Tom Hartman's new book. So, and they're all signed. All right, who do I go to next? I guess I go to Robert, our L.A. correspondent. Hey, Robert, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing. How about you?
Listen, how many times do I have to tell you? It's all about the semen stains. It's all about the penis.
That's right, it is, isn't it?
Come on, ain't nobody going to listen to this. I saw the website on Buzz Flash.
Oh, about Colin Powell and the weapons of mass destruction. Yeah.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
This is not simply one individual political figure, the head of the free world, the commander, or the chicken hawk in chief lying
right
about this. You got his entire cabinet is lying.
That's right. I'm
only 34 years old, Mike. And I really can't vouch for any of the past discussions that happened to past presidents, you know, probably with the exception of Clinton, maybe Bush the first. But maybe you can help me out here. I have never seen such a corrupt and such a dishonest cabinet of a cabinet of leaders.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen it in my lifetime. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, what these guys learned from the Reagan 8 years of Reagan, mm-hmm. when you had justice prevailed, probably 15 or 20 of Reagan administration probably 40 or 50 Reagan administration officials, not just cabinet members, would have gone to prison. But one of the things that Pappy Bush did. Right after Bill Clinton defeated him, and right before Pappy Bush left office, was to pardon all those criminals that clustered around Reagan and the Bush 1 administration. So there were a lot of criminals there. What this new group, the group you're referring to, the group I refer to, the group that makes me crazy and insane, want to break stuff up,
right,
what they have done is learn how to stay out of the clutches of the law, stay out of the clutches of the news media. They just
right
ignore the media. Hey, hold on. Let me come back to you, Robert. There's the music. We've got to take a break. But what they have learned to do is to dance and skate around the edges. They're going to get caught. They're going to get caught.
The sunset, you and I.
today directs new funds and new focus to the task of collecting vital intelligence on terrorist threats and on weapons of mass production.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
The North America encountered by Lewis and Clark 200 years ago was a land of unimaginable abundance. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. When Lewis and Clark set out on their westward expedition in 1804, one of the questions they sought to answer was, what kind of place was the Great Plains? Gary Moulton is the editor of the Lewis and Clark journals. He says people in the East had heard a variety of descriptions of the western grasslands.
Was it the Great American Desert, or was it the garden in the wilderness? And Lewis and Clark came back with a garden image of the Great Plains because of the abundance of wildlife.
Moulton says Lewis and Clark made note of the low rainfall, lack of trees, and short grasses, but they were stunned by the animals.
Often they talked about the great herds of buffalo and elk and deer. You know, buffalo that they would have to sort of knock out of the way to get by them.
They also describe a Missouri River teeming with mussels and fish.
They were amazed with the number of fish they were catching. Sometimes they'd put out a net and haul in 300, 800 fish at a time. So the abundance of the country was just something that really caught their attention.
Moulton says that abundance fell off as the expedition entered the Rocky Mountains, where game was scarce.
Our conception is always the plains as sort of boring, monotonous landscape, whereas the mountains are beautiful and scenic and prosperous. For Lewis and Clark, it was almost entirely the different attitude. The plains were the place of abundance.
That's historian Gary Moulton, editor of the Lewis and Clark journals. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
After Secretary of State Powell's presentation to the United Nations Security Council, the world knows that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction.
It's just an outrage. It's just an outrage. Wasn't that from the State of the Union address, Kathy? I mean, it's just an outrage. Every one of these sons of bitches, you'll excuse me for my language, I don't care. Every one of them lied. Rice, Powell, Cheney, Bush, Wolfowitz, every single one of them. Is this not an impeachable offense? Should this cabinet and this administration not be turned out of office? Or as Robert said, is it all about the semen stains? Is that all that matters? Sorry, Robert. Didn't mean to scream in your ear.
I guess so. It must be about the same.
It's just incredible. Now, we were talking about criminal administrations. I don't know if that answered the question or not. These guys, there are a lot of criminals in this administration. They were just unindicted, except Elliot Abrams. I think he was convicted of something, and he is now in charge of Middle Eastern affairs, if you can believe that. Otto Reich, who is... I forget what he does in the government, but he is a known terrorist who assisted in the blowing up of a Cuban airliner that cost the lives of 70 civilians. Negro Ponte, who is our ambassador to the UN, was involved in the slaughter and the support of death squads in Central America in the 80s. God only knows how many corpses are directly became corpses because of Negro Ponte. These people are killers, Robert. These are not people who steal a little money. These are not people who jerk around the system. These are killers.
Yeah.
Richard Armitage, who is a Deputy Secretary of Defense, he's a former CIA guy that they sent out on what they call wet operations. That means go kill this people.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, I mean, these are real killers, man.
And what's so incredible is the fact that, you know, both of these statements made by Secretary Power in the U.S. Department of State online, which I got from BuzzFlash, and in addition with the UN, website, you know, the transcripts.
Right.
And I'm wondering, why didn't the foreign minister Moussa of Egypt called the U.S., called up Colin Powell regarding these fallacies, man?
Maybe he did, but you and I will never know about it.
Exactly.
You know, we'll never know about it. These people are like Klansmen. You know, they do stuff at night under sheets in basements. You know, you can't even find out. Dick Cheney
won't... You know what they call that sheet, Mike?
What?
The American flag.
There you go.
Have a good day, man.
All right. I appreciate it, Robert. Thanks for checking in. These are the, you know, Cheney won't even allow the release of minutes of meetings about who came into his filthy office to decide U.S. energy policy. But these are killers. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. This is not like people in the Clinton administration. Who I think one person was convicted of corruption in the Clinton administration, and it had nothing to do with the wholesale slaughter of other human beings. The people in the highest levels of the Bush administration are mass murderers. Do you think I tossed that term out just to hear myself say mass murderer? You know it. You know it as well as I do. And I swear to God, the worst one has to be this John Negroponte. This guy, oh, Jesus. I mean, it just unbelievable. All right, Clint is calling from Dearborn. All right, Clint, Kathy tells me you're one of the winners. Hold on a second. Let me go through it again. Rummy and others in the administration keep stressing the vast assistance that the U.S. has received from foreign troops. Of the approximately 170,000 troops in Iraq, how many are from foreign countries? Is it A, 50,000, B, 40,000, or C, approximately 20,000? And the answer is...
20,000.
It is indeed. And you know what is really disgusting about it? Of those 20,000, I think about 12,000 are Brits. So that leaves 8,000 divided by 36 countries. Isn't that what this administration... Oh, we have 36 countries who have contributed. What did Poland send over? Three? You know, what is Moldova sent? You know, a 14-year-old kid with a pitchfork and some old lady who knows how to handle a Kalashnikov? And we have to pay for these. We have to bribe these governments. It's just an outrage. Oh, well.
It really is. Yeah.
No, that's not why you really called. But I'm glad you won Tom Hartman's book.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to reading it.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about our friends, the Republicans, tonight, I had to call about something I've been observing over here the last few days. It's about... how our, you know, most of our state government in Michigan is controlled by Republicans.
Right.
With the exception of our governor. Well, they're trying to, jam charter schools again down the city of Detroit.
Right.
You know, to destroy the Detroit public schools. And now there's, you know, the deal fell through. And after all these schools went from Detroit, you know, canceled school in the Detroit district today, and they all went up and protested.
Mm-hmm.
And the thugs up there are saying, well, it's because of our governor's fault.
Yeah.
Well, if you go and do a little research on it, I just sent you a couple articles. They're talking about how there were a little bit of more language in there, which the governor didn't agree to,
uh-huh.
which she was reading. So she does read things not like the people that voted on the Patriot Act.
Yeah, I don't know what to say, Clint. The Republicans who try to pin anything, if the price of coffee goes up, it's because the Democrats have screwed up or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and the thing that really bugs me is, you know, instead of putting money into schools, into public schools, why don't they do that instead of getting more money-making charter schools for their buddies?
Well, because they want an uneducated workforce that will not try to rise above minimum wage, that will not unionize, that is uneducated, that is uninformed. You know, when I went to school in Toledo, Ohio as a kid, starting probably around fourth grade, I learned all about the union movement. I learned about how the union movement in this country gave us Social Security and a woman's right to vote and got the kids out of the mines and a minimum wage and a 40-hour work week and time and a half for overtime and eventually a Medicare and Medicaid. That came as a result of lobbying efforts by union people. Nobody is taught that anymore. Do you think that's going to be taught in a charter school or whatever they're called, the charter school? No. You know what they're going to teach them? That there is a competing theory of evolution. It's called creationism, and
mm-hmm.
That's the kind of crap and junk and horse feathers that they're going to teach. They being the Republicans, these filthy, vile Republicans, what they want is an uneducated workforce that lives in cardboard boxes, who are semi-homeless, who live in dormitories maybe, two-room dormitories.
Exactly.
And who never strive or desire to get ahead. And then the Republicans can turn around and kick these people in the teeth and say, well, you don't try to get ahead like me, you dumb bastard. You know, I just loathe these people. I loathe them. But you already knew that. Hey, listen, I'm glad you won, Clint. Thanks for checking in, pal.
Yeah, thank you. You take care.
All right, sir. You too. Bob Fleischer just sent this to me. Today, the Miami City Commission will most likely, it probably already has happened, pass an ordinance. This comes from independent media, indymedia.org. Miami City Commission passed an ordinance banning the use and possession of a variety of items related to peaceful protests, demonstrations, and protest marches. This includes puppets and other props, street theater masks, signs on sticks, still cameras, video cameras, which are normally used to record the actions of overzealous police, padded clothing, which is used for protection against police truncheons and police dogs. Also disallowed bullhorns, gas masks of any kind, including bandanas, which are often used for protection against tear gas, and much more. Now, get this. The ordinance, which will take effect when passed, today or tomorrow, it will expire on Thursday, November 27th, a month from now. The ordinance is clearly aimed at stifling the voices of the tens of thousands of people, including students, union members, activists, farmers, and many other types of individuals from around the Americas, North America, Central America, South America, who will be coming to South Florida to protest the FTAA, the Free Trade Area of the Americas meeting, which will be held November 17th to November 21st in Miami. The Free Trade Area of the Americas is another ripoff of American workers. So the city of Miami passes an ordinance that says, well, no masks, no bandanas, no signs on sticks, no puppets, no cameras, no padded clothing, no bullhorns, no gas masks. If we decide to use gas on you, we want to be able to penetrate your mucous membranes and make you curl in a ball and retch and gag and vomit and have tears streaming down your face so they can then come over and beat you because no padded clothing allowed. And we can have our police dogs chew on your legs, no padded clothing allowed. So that you little bastards will stay away the next time we have one of these economic unfairness meetings. Huh? Huh? Thanks, Bob, for sending that to me. that. It just doesn't stop, does it? Doesn't stop. Andy is calling from Seattle, or near Seattle. Hey, Andy.
Hey, Mike. How you doing tonight?
Doing fine, sir.
I just sent you another a link just a minute ago to Democratic Underground. Some research that did you listen to Resident Bush's speech at the UN the other morning?
I listened to part of it as much as I could stomach because it was too much like Joseph Goebbels addressing the Reichstag. Yeah.
Well, he finished up by talking about sex slavery.
Bush was talking about sex slavery?
Yes, he was, and it was just like weird. DU was all abuzz about how he brought the subject up. Where was it coming from? Left field. Well, do you remember 1993, the APEC conference here in Seattle?
Yes, I do.
Okay. At that time, there were news reports in the Seattle Times and the Seattle PI describing how some of the rooms were bugged, that the dignitaries were in, and they were bringing in children for basically to be used by these people. This is all true. It's all been documented. It's in mainstream media.
Right.
Okay.
I do remember.
All right. Before that, in 1989, in the Washington Times, there's a story there about call boys that were brought in at midnight hours to the White House.
I remember that story.
It all got buried. What if Bush is making a thinly veiled threat to members of the UN that were at APEC? You know, because I'm sure there were people there that were jolly well involved in all of this.
Well, I don't know how. Let me devil's advocate this for a second. I don't know how that would be a threat, because in so many cultures and societies, free expression, however perverse we may think it is, of sexual proclivities is not something. Let's take our cousins, the Brits. Dear God, they have had sex scandal after sex scandal, and you might have a minister resign, but you know they usually show up in the next government or they skip a government and show up again. In so much of the Middle East, male sex with boys is considered just, you know, afternoon sport. It doesn't really mean anything.
In our country, though. It doesn't.
Right. Right. It does here. But the point is, how would foreign representatives, foreign to the United States, foreign representatives come here for trade meetings, how would exposing their sexual proclivities have any effect at all? Back in their home countries, people would just yawn and say, oh, yeah, really? Well, that's interesting.
I hear what you're saying, but I'm.
But on the other hand, Republicans are fascinated with other people's sex. They are voyeurs. They are peeping toms. They are perverts in that sense. Like Keyhole Ken Starr. They like to go to the Bohemian Grove and get naked so they can act on their homosexual, repressed homosexual tendencies. And my position is, why have them repressed? Go ahead and be gay. I mean, what the hell's the problem with that, you know?
Well, okay, now this brings up another point, because you were talking about Bev Harris earlier. Okay, Chuck mm-hmm. Hagel of ESNF.
Right.
Okay, I wish I could find the link. My computer crashed and I lost the link, but I had a story that showed a small connection, but it's still a connection between Chuck Hagel and Lawrence King, who was the ringleader of the Franklin Savings and Loan.
Well, I'll tell you what. Kathy just informed me that tomorrow night Bev Harris is going to be our guest on the second hour of our program, which is 10 p.m. Eastern time. What is that out there? 7 p.m. your time?
Well, it's 7:47 right now here.
Okay.
What time is it there?
10:47. So
okay.
at 7 o'clock Pacific time tomorrow night, Bev Harris, Kathy spoke with her publisher, and she's going to be our guest tomorrow night during the second hour of the program to discuss what's happening with black box voting. So,
yeah, and isn't it a shame what they've done with it?
So what you might want, we will probably waive the rule, the three-day rule. If you can get in tomorrow night to talk with Bev, ask her that question. I don't have an answer.
Well, no, I've talked with her about this on the phone before. I actually know Bev, so.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right.
No, I'll be listening. I'll save it for somebody else that wants wants to call in and talk to her that hasn't talked to her before, and because I can.
Yeah, because I cannot answer. I do not have a clue. This whole voting issue is one that I'm aware of, but we just kind of skim over the top. We kind of rely on you and other people to keep me and Kathy informed of this. The black box voting thing. Who was it that was it Clint? Somebody sent in. Maybe it wasn't Clint. Send in the information, Mike. Go to blackboxvoting.org. And click. And I went, and it's closed. And like what we read earlier in the program tonight, the explanation why it's closed. So we're looking forward to talking with Bev Harris tomorrow night.
Well, hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you,
Andy. Have a good night, Mike.
All right, sir. Same to you. Thanks for checking in. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Hold on.
What could I do? Remember that unity starts with you.
Hold on. Hold on.
Hold on. Is democracy dead? Only time's gonna tell. Get your feet in the street and start raising some hell.
Hold on.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free. 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
Show. In an interview with the Associated Press, Kennedy said the case for going to war against Iraq was a fraud made up in Texas to give Republicans a political boost, and the money for the war is being used to bribe foreign leaders to send troops. Well, Tom DeLay, the bug man. He reminds me so much of Dennis Hopper's character in Blue Velvet. Remember Frank Booth? What was he sucking? What was it, nitrous oxide? That's what DeLay reminds me of. Only DeLay wouldn't be doing nitrous oxide. DeLay would be doing one of those weird bug-killing chemicals, like parathion. You know, it's my understanding, that stuff gets you real high right before it kills you.
That's the lowest thing I've ever heard. The lowest thing I've ever heard coming out of Kennedy's mouth.
This is the Frank Booth character from David Lynch's Blue Velvet. There's no question about that, True Seekers.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You'll be seeing a lot of changes around here.
The new weekend programming lineup is more entertaining than ever. Kick it off Saturday mornings with Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by Bobby Likas Car Clinic. Then Saturdays are brightened with the informative antics of Animal Talk, followed by the home improvement experts on Home Improvement USA. If you've been wondering about that old so-called junk, then you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent, followed by Talking Pets with John Patch. Learn your job rights on Sunday mornings with the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. And the latest in the world of technology on Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline. Ramblin' with Ramsey will fill you into the hot spots to travel, followed by the second installment of the funniest live animal talk show, Animal Talk.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
For more information on these shows or other shows on IE America Radio Network, call 1-800-397-8255. But for now, listen to us live on IEAmericaRadio.com.
Conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, Ashcroft, as you know, is out on his Save the Patriot Act world tour, and he is only addressing closed audiences of selected law enforcement and quasi-military enforcers, people like that. The press is not allowed in. The press sometimes is allowed to have a little meeting with him afterwards, but only if they're television. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit when we come back. It is the weirdest damn thing, from an administration that defines the word weird. But this is creepy and weird. Joe is calling from Oregon, our Brookings Bureau Chief. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, so, our buddies at OPEC yesterday announced that they're going to start cutting back on production starting in November.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, Saudi Arabia seems to have a lot of influence with that organization. I just want to ask you in the audience, why is it we're not bombing the hell out of Saudi Arabia right now?
I think it's coming. The U.S. pulled all its troops out. The neocons in this filthy government, especially the American Zionists, have. You remember that thing that came out about the Saudis being criminals and murderers and so on and so forth, immediately repressed.
Mm-hmm.
That came from I think PNAC or if not PNAC, that group that advises the Pentagon. Then we pulled our troops out and set them all up in Qatar. So it's coming is the point I'm trying to make, Joe. It may take a while. Probably that's what Bush is going to use as a springboard to try to serve another 4 years in the White House is an attack on Saudi Arabia when all of a sudden somebody in the Bush administration says, I think the Saudis were behind the 9/11 attack. So that's the only answer I have for you, pal.
Oh, well, that sounds fantastic to me. I kind of doubt he'd go after his business partners like that.
Well, if you can get all the oil in Saudi Arabia as a result, why not?
Yeah. Well, isn't it interesting? OPEC, they said one of the reasons that they're cutting down on the production is because Iraq is going to start putting more oil on the market. So another benefit of the Iraq war.
Well, that may happen. That'll happen 6 or 7 years from now, if it ever happens. Hey, thanks, Joe. I appreciate you checking in, pal. All right, quick break. We'll be back. And I want you to... I want to share with you the story about Ashcroft and then hear what Scotty McClellan, Simple Scotty, had to say about it today. Right? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. A magnitude 8.0 earthquake has struck the Hokkaido region of Japan. Julie Martinez, a geophysicist with the U.S. Geological Survey, has the details.
The USGS has an 8.0 magnitude for the earthquake. It occurred at 4:50 local time in Japan on the 26th. The location we have is 105 kilometers south-southwest of Kushiro, Hokkaido.
Martinez adds that a Pacific-wide tsunami watch is in place for the U.S. West Coast from California all the way to Alaska. However, it's still unknown if the quake has in fact generated a tsunami. The quake has done substantial damage in Japan. There is still no word on casualties. The family of a weapons expert who is believed to have committed suicide is blaming the British government for using him as a pawn in the uproar over intelligence reports on Iraq. An attorney for the family of David Kelly, Jeremy Gompertz, is accusing the British government of publicly naming him so it could undermine a British Broadcasting Corporation report.
There was a strategy to out Dr. Kelly so that he could be used as a witness to undermine Mr. Gilligan in furtherance of the government's dispute with the BBC. This was a cynical abuse of power which deserves the strongest possible condemnation.
The BBC story accused British leadership of sexing up a pre-war dossier on Iraq's banned weapons so it could justify the war. Kelly was found dead with a slit wrist after being exposed as the source of the report, which has been disputed by the British government.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of three herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke Free completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
As the United Auto Workers Union hammers out new contracts with the big three automakers, some industry watchers predict the UAW will make up for expected job losses by organizing non-union suppliers. It could have an impact on the west side of Michigan, though industry analyst Aaron Merkel of IRN Incorporated doubts it.
I don't know how much of an impact it's going to have on this side of the state, just because, especially with a lot of the smaller suppliers, but I think that you're probably going to see more of the organization more at the Tier 1 level than you would at the lower ranks in the supply group, say the Tier 2 and Tier 3.
Merkel isn't convinced the push to organize larger part suppliers will work, saying it'll be difficult. He says the higher costs that the big three are trying to bring down would simply be pushed off on the suppliers. He sees costs going up, but revenues not keeping pace.
Does Burger King have a new fire-grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on a fresh-baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Two Seattle doctors who are identical twin brothers are accused of sexually abusing a dozen female patients by impersonating each other. The alleged victims have now filed suit against the physicians. The attorney representing the plaintiff says the woman went to one doctor for examinations. He would remember patients' names and case histories. During their next visits, he could not recall their names or why they needed to be examined. The victims also claimed the doctor's weight would significantly change. One moment he was heavier set, the next moment he appeared quite a bit slimmer. Both doctors could not be reached for comment. Prosecutors are now looking into the matter and could file criminal charges by October 1st. Stocks had a down day today following a mixed batch of economic reports. The Dow Jones Industrial Averages fell 82 points to 93.44. The Nasdaq was down 27 to 18.17. The S&P fell by 6 to 10.03. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Name some things that are different. Apples, oranges, men, women, football, soccer. How about tune-ups? If you think they're all the same, think again. And when I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
Okay, so you want one good reason to get LoJack installed in your car. Well, unfortunately, I can't give you that. But I can give you three. LoJack has a 90% recovery success rate. LoJack has helped recover over 100,000 vehicles worldwide. And LoJack is the only stolen vehicle recovery system used by the police. So if you still want just one good reason to get LoJack, that last one should do quite nicely. To find a dealer near you, visit LoJack.com and keep it close.
Why does your tune-up cost $500, but your neighbor's only $100? Apples and oranges. Although symptoms in two vehicles are similar, actual problems can vary dramatically. Here's what I mean. Your neighbor's V8 engine is running on 7 cylinders due to a bad plug wire. Tune-up cost, $100. Your V8 engine's also running on 7 cylinders, but it's due to a burned valve. Tune-up cost, 5 times $100. My advice, investigate the diagnosis before you relegate your wallet. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Don't forget, tomorrow night, second hour, Bev Harris, blackboxvoting.org, will be our guest to discuss what's happening at that website. If you go to blackboxvoting.org, you know what you find there now. It's been shut down by Diebold, either with a lawsuit or the threat of a lawsuit. And nobody's exactly sure what's going on there. At least I'm not. I don't mean nobody is. But we'll find out tomorrow night the best we can. All right. Now, before we go back to your calls, I want to do this thing with Ashcroft. As you know, he is touring the country to promote the Patriot Act, right? About how it's just a wonderful thing. I don't know. Each member of the Bush crime family pisses me off on a visceral level, but they all piss me off on a visceral level in a different way. You know what I'm saying? Right? Ashcroft, I guess because of his smarmy, fake, disgusting corruption of Christianity, really gets under my skin. This guy is just so bad. Remember, he's the one who's defeated in an election for the Senate by a dead man. Anyway, He's continuing his tour of the country to promote this abomination called the Patriot Act. And at several stops along the way, including, for example, Philadelphia, Buffalo, he refuses to speak to print reporters, newspapers or magazines. Now, television dudes can breeze right in. And the newspaper people are kept at bay by Secret Service agents who are there to do the bidding of the nation's top law enforcement thug. Right? Secret Service agents are there. No, get away! Get away, you dirty print medium bastard! Get away! Get away from our precious Attorney General! You see, Ashcroft gets aroused by audiences of hand-picked enthusiasts. That's why none of these Support the Patriot Act meetings are held as a public forum, where parents and teachers and business people and dentists and lawyers can just show up. No, 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 no. Invitation only, Bubala. He also likes local television reporters because they can be overwhelmed.
Hi, I'm Abe Snake here at Channel 7. And guess what? Oh, God, I can hardly contain myself. I had a private little meeting with Ashcroft today. Oh, God, does this mean I'll make it out of this crappy market and get to the big time? Ashcroft, Mr. Sam, Ms. General, thank you so much for talking to my microphone, for looking into my camera. Oh, God, maybe this will get me to Chicago.
That's how they are. Now, according to Justice Department spokeswoman and female Nazi Barbara Comstock, don't you love her last name, Ashcroft wants to explain, the reason he's out on tour, he wants to explain
key facts directly to the American people and not subject myself to as much of a filter from people who are already invested in having a different view of the Patriot Act. Do you understand that?
See, if you are suspicious of the Patriot Act, Ashcroft doesn't want to come anywhere near you, especially if you're in media. Ashcroft, being part of the crime family that he is, wants to conduct what used to be the public's business in some kind of an echo chamber, back and forth. This is what Todd Gitlin, professor of journalism and sociology at Columbia University, had to say about it. He wants to conduct the public's business in an echo chamber with aplomb and no hint of bad conscience. Ashcroft and the rest of these people practice the politics of no politics, the politics of l'état, c'est moi.
I am the state. You are trash. L'état, c'est moi.
So simple Scotty McClellan at the White House press briefing today was asked about this by a real crack White House reporter, Russell Mokhiber. So here's the back and forth between Russell Mokhiber and simple Scotty about the Crisco kid, John Ashcroft.
Attorney General Ashcroft is not speaking with print reporters. Does the president agree with that policy?
No, I don't know what his individual policy is. The attorney general has been out talking about some important priorities of this administration, and he will continue to do that. I haven't heard. Talk to the attorney general. Talk to the Department of Justice. Talk to the Department of Justice. Talk to the Department of Justice. I don't know what individual policies are. I haven't heard that. So.
Oh, my God. The utter contempt. Now Scotty McClellan is really and truly a buffoon, a little tight-ass clown, a joke. But the joke is on us. The joke is not on the crack White House press corps and the real reporters there, like Russell Mokhiber. The joke is on us. But as Russell, this was so funny. Russell Mokhiber says he He's not talking to print reporters. So Scotty says, well, talk to the Attorney General, talk to the Department of Justice. And Mo Kiper says, he won't talk to us. I'm a print reporter. And that's what causes the laughter. I want to hear that again. Can you cue it up and play it again? I just want to hear it again. In the background, you hear Mo Kiper saying, they won't talk. They won't talk. Listen to this one more time.
Attorney General Ashcroft is not speaking with print reporters. Does the president agree with that policy?
No, I don't know what his individual policy is. The attorney general, has been out.
He's just talking to TV.
The attorney general has been out talking about some important priorities of this administration, and he will continue to do that. I haven't heard. Talk to the attorney general. Talk to the Department of Justice. Talk to the Department of Justice. Talk to the Department of Justice. I don't know what individual policies are. I haven't heard that. So.
Oh my God. And Scotty, you know, being the little clown that he is, and I guess this is supposed to be funny, but again, the joke is on us. Scotty says the Attorney General has been out talking about some important priorities of this administration. No, he hasn't. No, he hasn't, Scott. He's been selling the so-called USA Patriot Act that is another step in absolutely destroying representative government in this country, absolutely destroying 1st, 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, 10th, and 14th Amendments, absolute instrument used to bring fascism to this country and turn this country into a police state. That's what he's talking about, Scotty, a little moron. Not some important priorities of this government. But one important priority of this government, fascism. Right? Adele Welty is a member of the September 11th Families for Peaceful Tomorrows. She lost her son, Timothy, a firefighter, who was one of the first to arrive at the World Trade Center on that awful day. She said today, Mrs. Welty said, I support Congressman Dennis Kucinich's bill, which would roll back sections of the Patriot Act that pose a serious threat to the exercise of our constitutional rights, particularly our right to due process, our right to petition the government in cases where we believe the government's actions are contrary to the best interests of the American people. I do not want my son's death used again for the purpose of concentrating power in the hands of this administration in ways that will compromise our liberties. Oh, my God. And, of course, I'm sure you all have seen Nat Hentoff's piece in the Village Voice. Now, Hentoff is kind of a conservative libertarian. But so what? You know, a stop clock is right twice a day. Hentoff has written, he just released The War on the Bill of Rights and the Gathering Resistance. And Hentoff said, the Patriot Act has radically extended government electronic surveillance on and off the Internet with often reduced judicial review. Also under the Patriot Act, with a warrant from the secret Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, the FBI is empowered to go to libraries and bookstores to get the lists of books borrowed or bought by persons only under tenuous suspicion, a much lower standard than the Fourth Amendment's probable cause is permitted for these inquiries. Both the librarian and the bookstore owner are prohibited from informing anyone. So a government, I almost said Soviet, this is just like the Soviet Union. Government agents, Hentoff writes, can now listen in on conversations between lawyers and their clients without a private court order. And there is the designation of two American citizens so far as enemy combatants held in military brigs without charges, without access to lawyers. The United Soviet States of America. Isn't that what Al Martin said months ago on this program that we were heading to? The United Soviet States of America? Is this Ashcroft thug not just purely representative of and defines the mind of a Soviet Politburo bureaucrat? Don't you know that they're opening gulags even as we talk? And as our senior correspondent says regarding Ashcroft not talking to print, is because if a television dude says something that Ashcroft isn't too fond of, all he has to do is turn to Colin Powell's brat, that would be Michael, and say, pull the plug! Rescind their license to broadcast! You see, you can't do that with the print medium. Have I said tonight, Kathy, that I hate these people? I did. I did say that. Oh, gosh. Just blew right past me. I don't know if we're going to get to Uncle Mike's Story Corner or not. We're going to take your phone calls very quickly as soon as we come back from this break that is upon us, even as we speak. So stick around. Phone calls next. All right? I'm Mike Malloy.
To me that you're divine, change my water into wine, that's all you need to, and I'll know it's all true. Superstar, what is it that you have got that puts you where you are? I am waiting, yes, I'm a captive fan. I'm dying to be shown that you're not just any man. So if you are the Christ, yes, the great Jesus Christ, feed my household with this.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Ms. Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
The Mike Malloy Show.
According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody. What do we do with those folks? We arrest them. They are jailed. In some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say, wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
Though she's cried a bit for what we've put her through.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Don't do this.
She soared above the lifted lamp that guards sweet freedom's door. In the dews, the damps, the watchfires of a nation torn by war.
Doing talk radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
You can see it in her eyes. It's time to let the mighty eagle soar.
I got an eagle for you, John. Oh, stop, Kathy. No, seriously. Cut it.
Before
I will leave.
From rocky coast to golden shore.
You chase away, when you do that, you chase away at least half of the 15 people that are listening to this program. And she sits out there and laughs like that's funny. No, I'm serious. That grates on me to an extent that I can't stand. You and I are going to have to talk after the program.
I gotta get you back somehow.
Mark is calling from Dallas. Mark, thanks for holding on. By the way, I read the thing that you I guess you sent me a copy. You were listening to Tom Hartman's program today, and you he had a right winger on as a guest or a Republican
right.
or something.
Right.
I read your letter. I was going to try to read it on the program tonight and just didn't have the time, but I thought you were very articulate in what you said about this Republican guest that Tom had on.
So, and did you see the attached photograph?
No. You sent that to me here, I believe, at Mike D. Malloy at Earthlink.
No, I sent it, I think, at the AOL.
AOL, then I'll be able to get it when I go home.
Right. Yeah, look at the photograph because that's equally as telling as the letter.
Okay.
Well, so anyway, I thought that John Ashcroft was aroused by bronze statues without clothes on.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my God. Draping the breasts of a depiction of Miss Liberty or Miss Justice or somebody. Justice? Yeah, Justice. Oh, this guy is really an evil, sick man. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So you've already covered the waterfront, but maybe time to connect the dots here. People ought to really realize that there is a plan here. I mean, I don't want to call it a conspiracy, but let's just look at what's happening. The middle class and manufacturing are being gutted as jobs are sent overseas and factories and plants are closing. Okay, so you talked about the oppression of people and becoming essentially economic slaves.
Right.
George Bush passes tax cuts to make sure that his buddies become the wealthy ruling overclass.
Right.
They start a war so they can give fat contracts to themselves to ensure that they make money both by destroying things and then rebuilding them.
Right.
And then Ashcroft goes around the country promoting a law that makes it possible for him to oppress those people that have now just become disenfranchised economically.
Or those people who would point out what the Bush crime family is doing.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just astonishing.
It all couples together.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's my 2 cents for tonight.
How's the job search going, Mark?
Zero, not a zilch, as I said in my letter.
Oh, my God. Have you thought about, I guess there's no reason to leave Dallas.
Low cost of living here. I mean, where would I go that would be any better?
a small village in the Mexican mountains?
Well, I've really been considering New Zealand or Australia just because they're prettier places to be.
Yeah, but I have to tell you, I have a brother. I think I've mentioned this on the program. Who I don't like what he did during the 80s. He worked on the guidance system for the MX missile. He's double masters in computer science and physics.
worked in the defense industry. He has been unemployed now for about 18, 19, 20 months. He has taken a computer course after computer course. He's in his 50s, and I think that's what's causing him this distress. He can't find a job. Now, on the one hand, that might be a good thing, because if my brother goes back to work, he'll probably invent a death ray or something. Because, you know, he works in the weapons industry, or he did. He worked for TRW. He worked for Hughes Aircraft. But, you know, here's another guy. You know, we've got it in our family. Maybe I've mentioned this before. People who are, if anything, I may not agree with my brother's politics,
right.
but he is extremely well-educated.
Sure,
Jesus.
Bright guy.
Yeah, very bright guy.
Right.
So, well, keep us posted, okay?
Will do. And look for that picture. You'll enjoy seeing it.
I'll do it. Thank you, Mark.
Bye-bye.
All right, you have a nice evening. Quick break. We'll be oh, you're doing it again, aren't you?
Captain more new tricks and truck than you and I could ever hope to try. They got four-wheel drives to turn it. Credit cards just burning, seeking kicks and highs on which you can't rely. There's just one thing satisfying. He's the one who did our dying, and he's waiting in that city in the sky. Now there's lots of folks have been thanking that real joy it comes.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. Big Blue may be in big trouble. IBM faces lawsuits in California, Minnesota, and New York from former workers at microchip plants who allege the company knew it was exposing people to dangerous chemicals but did nothing to stop it. This week, lawyers for the California plaintiffs received what they call a corporate mortality file produced by IBM. The document tracks the deaths of some 30,000 microchip workers over the course of 30 years and suggests that IBM knew they were dying of cancer at higher rates than the general population. IBM won't comment on its content, but says the documents were supposed to remain confidential. A hearing on the California case takes place tomorrow.
When 6 unions representing Amtrak employees walk off the job next week, they won't be joined by the largest union of workers at the passenger rail company. The 6 unions, led by the Transport Workers Union, say the one-day strike is necessary to draw lawmakers' attention to Amtrak's funding woes. But while Amtrak's largest union, the Transportation Communications Union, calls the protest well-intentioned, it worries that a work stoppage will backfire and alienate swing voters. A total of 5,000 of Amtrak's 18,500 workers are scheduled to strike 1 week from tomorrow. Amtrak has asked the federal government for $1.8 billion next year. The Senate has earmarked nearly $500 million less, while the White House has suggested cutting Amtrak's request in half.
12,000 loggers along the coast of British Columbia are waiting for the queue to walk off their jobs. The Industrial Wood and Allied Workers of Canada gave the BC logging industry a 72-hour strike notice on Monday. No formal strike date was announced, but it could begin as early as today. Loggers want to restart contract talks that broke down in August when industry representatives walked away from the bargaining table.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey,
and
here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
hey, Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh.
Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
Good day.
On
the IE America Radio Network.
Truth, Justice, and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
27 before the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. I don't know if we'll get to Uncle Mike's Story Corner tonight or not, but Tracy is calling from Silver Springs, Maryland. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Mr. Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Great. Three quick things I just want to run past you.
Okay.
I thought coming home from work tonight, you're from Toledo, aren't you?
I am indeed.
You know, I think an unsung, I don't want to say hero, but a member of Congress is the congresswoman from that area, Marcy Kaptur.
Oh,
I heard her on a program tonight, you know, talking about how the troops were being shortchanged. I've admired her for a long time. She's just great.
Yeah, she is. Interestingly, my mother is 89 years old. She still is by herself, but she goes to a senior center in her neighborhood, and I think it was Monday that Marcy Kaptur was there at the senior center talking to, about 50 of these really, really old folks who get together and play cards and checkers and stuff and have lunch together at the senior center. And when I talked to my mother that night, she said, you know, I really, really like Marcy Kaptur. She is, because my mother's an old hardline Democrat.
Sure.
And Marcy Kaptur I think she deserves, at some point, she's going to work herself into a leadership position.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
She did, you know, I remember when Gephardt decided to leave, and she did it more on principle. She knew she wasn't going to win. But I remember when she ran for House Minority Leader.
Right.
So I just wanted to give a shout out to your hometown girl.
She's
a great congressman.
She is. She is. She's very bright. She understands Democratic politics. And being from Toledo, she is.
Yeah.
She's an old blue line Democrat.
And she doesn't tell the. You know, she goes against the party bigwig.
That's right. That's right. Bless her heart.
The other quick thing I want to throw at you is, listen, I know that we can huff and puff at the New Republic from time to time, but I don't know if you saw there is, there have been several articles, but in the New Republic there's a debate this week about Bush hatred.
Mm-hmm.
And Jonathan Chait
does
a great read his first thing. He does a back and forth with a guy, Ramesh Ponnaru, I believe is the name from the National Review.
Mm-hmm.
But read his first thing, which he writes on Monday, and I think you should read it to some of us. I have it. I won't read it. I think you should get it.
Is that online? Because my subscription to TNR ran out. It is online.
It is.
Okay.
It is online. Some parts of it, I think you can get it.
I'll get it. Yeah, I'll get it.
Online.
Right.
And read just the first thing. It's his initial comments. It is about why he hates Bush, and he goes into even the superficial reasons that he, and I was like, oh my God, he speaks for me.
Huh.
You know, he talks about his gait, but he goes into substantive stuff too, Mike, but he addresses this stuff like Molly Ivins did about why, you know, these conservatives all of a sudden are saying that, you know, well, the liberals and progressives are being irrational because we hate Bush, but no, these are real reasons.
That's right.
So that's
Ted Rawl, who writes for op-ed news.com, he's got a piece out right now called titled Why We Hate Bush.
Right.
Yeah.
I need to find that.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to read it.
Yeah, go to opednews.com.
Op-ed News.
Yeah,
okay.
I've gotten it off of Yahoo.
Okay.
But he just put it up yesterday. It's called Why We Hate Bush. Matter of fact, that was going to be Uncle Mike's Story Corner tonight, but I don't think we're going to get to it.
Yeah. It is so. And the last quick thing I wanted to say is that I'm sure you probably, you and Kathy probably saw the poll about how even Republicans in New York now detest Bush.
Right.
And I'm wondering if the decision to have the Republican convention there is going to backfire. And I'm going to take that comment off the air because I know you have to get to other calls, but keep doing a good job. Thanks,
well,
Mike.
All right. Thanks, Tracy. I appreciate you checking in. I think having the Republican convention in New York is going to backfire big time. And in addition to backfire, I think there is going to be an enormous number of protesters who are going to show up to let this criminal enterprise know exactly what we think about him. Speaking of demonstrations, there's a huge one planned for when? Saturday? Is it Saturday in London? According to the Guardian, London Guardian, up to 100,000 people expected at this London-Iraq protest. Organizers today predicted a huge turnout because of mounting public anger over government, their government's lies about the war in Iraq. And that view that people are just thoroughly pissed in that country about Tony Blair's lies, that view has been backed by a new poll showing that Blair's political reputation has been damaged by the inquiry that they have going on over there, the so-called Hutton inquiry, that has to do with the BBC and has to do with the lies and the suicide of the weapons expert who got embroiled in this. Now, see, we don't have that sort of thing here. You know, Tony Blair himself has testified before this commission, what, two or three times, Kathy? Never happened here. Never happened here. But you see, that's how it works in the U.K. That's how it works with the parliamentary form of government. And the United Kingdom, still, to a far greater degree than we do, just like the Aussies and the New Zealanders and the Canadians, the remnants of the old British Commonwealth, you know, they are mostly white, mostly English-speaking. I know, they devastated the indigenous populations. Do we have to say that every time? Every time I mention Australia, New Zealand, the United States, Canada, okay. But these former members of the British Commonwealth who truly, now they have a different form of government, they have the parliamentary form of government, but they truly hold their leaders or take their leaders to task and hold them accountable and responsible for taking a nation into war, for example. By the same token, if they find out that their leaders are having afternoon sex or near sex in company quarters in the Parliament building, whether the Parliament building is in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, or Britain, they just look at it like, oh, yeah, okay, well, you shouldn't do that, you know. But they really get pissed off when their leaders lie to them and take them into war. And their fellow countrymen and countrywomen die. That's a little bit more important than whether or not Bill Clinton got a stain on Monica's dress. God! Oh! So, anyway, calm down. So 100,000 people at least expected. The march will be from Hyde Park to Trafalgar Square. It is advertised as a protest against the occupation of Iraq, or the occupation in Iraq, and for freedom in Palestine. It'll be the fifth such demonstration this year. The organizers do not expect a million people there like they had in trying to stop Bush and Blair's filthy, murderous war against the Iraqi people, but still a big demonstration. How much time we have left, Kathy? I don't know. I hate to get started with this. Let's try it. Why we hate Bush. This is let's do some music. Let's do it right. We'll do Uncle Mike's Story Corner music, and then we'll see if we can squeeze this in. Ted Rawl, who is a good writer, editorial cartoonist, writes at op-ed. Op-ed news or op-ed.com. You know what it is. So we have it linked at our website. So, Maestro, anytime you're ready. gather around, kiddies. You got your jammies on? Oh, good. It's time once again for Uncle Mike's Story Corner. Tonight, Ted Rawls, Why We Hate Bush. David Brooks in the Weekly Standard, quasi-official organ of the Bush administration, says, have the Democrats totally flipped their lids? Because every day some Democrat seems to make a manic or totally over-the-top statement about George Bush, the Republican Party, or the state of the nation today. End quote. True, Democrats loathe W with greater intensity than any Republican standard bearer in modern political history. Even the diabolical Richard Nixon, who after all created the APA, went to China, and imposed price controls to stop corporate gouging. Even Nixon rates higher in liberal eyes. It's mystifying, writes Brooks. Well, let me explain. First but not foremost, Bush's detractors despise him viscerally as a man. Where working-class populists see him as a smug, effeminate frat boy who wouldn't recognize a hard day's work if it kicked him in his self-satisfied ass, intellectuals see a simian-faced idiot unqualified to mow his own lawn, much less lead the free world. Another group, which includes me, is more patronizing and spiteful. I feel sorry for the dude. He looks so pathetic, so out of his depth, out there under the Klieg light, squinting, searching for nouns and verbs, looking like he's been snatched from his bed and beamed in and is still half asleep, not sure where he is. Each speech looks as if Bush had been beamed from his bed fast asleep, and he's willfully ignorant. On Fox News, Bush admits that he doesn't even read the newspaper. I glance at the headlines just to kind of have flavor for what's going on. I rarely read the stories and get briefed by people who are probably read the news themselves. All these takes on Bush boil down to the same thing. The guy who holds the launch codes isn't smart enough to know that he's stupid. And that's scary. Fear breeds hatred, and Bush's policies create a lot of both. U.S. citizens like Jose Padilla and Yasser Hamdi disappear into the night, never to be heard from again. A concentration camp rises at Guantanamo. Stasi-like spies tap our phones and read our mail. Thanks to the ironically named Patriot Act, these thugs don't even need a warrant. As individual rights are trampled, corporate profits are sacrosanct. An aggressive, expansionist military invades other nations preemptively to eliminate the threat of non-existent weapons, and American troops die to enrich a company that buys off the vice president. Time to dust off the F word. Robert Paxton, Emeritus Professor of History at Columbia University and the author of the upcoming book Fascism in Action, says, whenever people start locking up enemies because of national security without much legal care, you are coming close to fascism. Bush bashers hate Bush for his personal hypocrisy, the draft dodger who went AWOL during Vietnam, yet sent other young men to die in Afghanistan and Iraq. The philandering cocaine addict who dares to call gays immoral, as well as for his attacks on peace and prosperity. But even that doesn't explain why we hate him so much. Bush is guilty of a single irredeemable act so heinous and anti-American that Nixon's corruption and Reagan's intellectual inferiority pale by comparison, no matter what he does. Democrats and Republicans who love their country more than their party will never forgive him for it. Bush stole the presidency. The United States enjoyed 2 centuries of uninterrupted democracy before George W. Bush came along. The Brits burned the White House. Civil War slaughtered millions. Depression brought economic chaos. Yet presidential elections always took place on schedule, and the winners always took office. Bush ended all that, suing to stop a ballot count that subsequent newspaper recounts proved he had lost. He had his GOP-run Supreme Court, a federal institution, rule extra-jurisdictionally on the disputed election, a matter that under our system of laws falls to the states. Bush's recount guru, James Baker, went on national TV to threaten to use force to install him as president if Gore didn't step aside. Bush isn't president, but he plays one on television. His presence in the White House is an affront to everything that this country stands for. His fake presidency is treasonous. Our passive tolerance for its sad testimony to post-9/11 cowardice on our part. 2 months after 9/11, when Bush's job approval ratings was soaring to 89%, 47% of Americans told a Gallup poll that he had not won the presidency legitimately. 2 years later, 3 million jobs are gone. Bush's wars have gone sour, and just 50% of voters approve of his performance. Most Americans now consider Bush to be no more legitimate than Saddam Hussein, who also came to power in a coup d'etat. And that's why we hate him. Yeah. Uncle Mike's Story Corner, where we try to give you a pleasant little story before you go off to dreamland, kiddies. Ted Rall, op-ed.com. Oh, my God. Patrick is calling from Owensboro, Kentucky. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Mike. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it has.
Your show just gets better and better and better. It seems
well, thank
like,
you.
Seems like the more I stay off, the better it gets. I don't know how that is. Hey, I had a question. Help me get my story straight. When the Twin Towers got bombed, several like Mossad agents were killed, and apparently, is the Mossad blackmailing Bush to annihilate?
You know, I don't know. There are so many connections between the Bush crime family and the Saudis, the Bush crime family and Israeli intelligence, the Bush crime family and the Pakistani dictator Musharraf, the Bush crime family and the dictator of Indonesia, the Bush crime family and the Saudis, the Bush crime family and Osama bin Laden's family. I don't know, Patrick, what the connections are to the Mossad or to Ariel Sharon.
This is what I'm getting, that they're black... That the Mossad is blackmailing Bush. That you know that if he doesn't stay in Iraq, that they're going to blow the lid on him.
Well, I think he's too stupid to be blackmailed. I really do. Let me put you on hold. I'll come back in a second. I think George Bush is way too stupid. Like Ted Rall points out, he's too stupid to mow his own lawn. Told you aboard a nuclear warship if he dies he wants to go out in style. And there's nothing to eat that don't carry the stink of certain ways dumped in the Nile. But one thing is certainly true, no one here knows what to do, and I'm sick of you. I'm sick of you.
Oh, man, this milk smells bad. It tastes funny, too.
Now that's a bad decision. Fortunately, buying a GM-certified used vehicle that's fully reconditioned with a comprehensive limited warranty is always a good decision. GM-certified used vehicles. The right way, the right car. Qualified buyers get 3.9% APR financing on select GM-certified used vehicles from participating Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, and GMC dealers. Visit GMCertified.com for details.
Boy, I remember the good old days.
Yeah, when was that?
2003, of course, when interest rates were at historic lows and we knew the economy was turning around. What an historic opportunity. We really jumped on it. How'd you do?
Well,
we needed to expand our manufacturing and warehousing, so we called General Steel Corporation and ordered buildings engineered for our area and to meet our needs. And with the stucco and rock products provided by the General, our buildings look great.
How will you look back at this historic opportunity? Small business owners know that now is the best time to build that new warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space. Whether you need a 60 by 200 foot building for under $50,000 or a 100 by 175 for under $98,000, call toll free 1-866-96-DEAL. If you need to expand your business, you need the General. If your church or school needs to build quickly and save money, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-DEAL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-DEAL today.
As your boss, I've noticed you've been dragging at work lately. So, take tomorrow off. Here, take the company tickets to the game. Box seats okay? And take my car.
In a guy's perfect world, you'd have it all. Well, now you can. Because Domino's introduces Philly Cheesesteak Pizza. Guys like Philly Cheesesteak, guys like Domino's Pizza. Get your medium Philly Cheesesteak Pizza for $9.99, and you can get any second medium for just $5 more. Get the door. It's new Domino's Philly Cheesesteak Pizza. Limited time offer. Prices and terms may vary. You must ask for this offer when ordering.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step. The look of relief. Spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine, thanks for asking.
A little self-centered?
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show is at its best when it's more of me and less of you.
Not very listener-friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom in Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided?
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff, but what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show, and you're abusing it, and I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best of progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network. For more information, go to ieamericaradio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Restoring balance to talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Hey, we're just about out of here. Patrick has been holding on. Patrick, go ahead, wrap it up for me.
Well, you know, that's essentially what I was saying, is that, you know, we need to find out more about, you know, what I'm hearing here. But, I Bush is in Iraq, you know, for the oil, but the Mossad want him there to annihilate Iraq.
I have no doubt that nothing happens in the Middle East that we are involved in that does not have ties or pressures from the government of Israel. That's the way it's been for over 50 years. And in a manner of speaking, if we could have done this even-handedly where it concerned the Palestinians and the Israelis, I would see no problem with that. The problem is we have not been even-handed. We have watched as the Israelis attempt to do to the Palestinians precisely what we did to Native Americans, what the English did to the Maoris in New Zealand, and the Aborigines in Australia, but that was then. This is now, and the Palestinian people there. And there is such a thing. A lot of people say, "Well, that doesn't even exist." There is no such thing. If there are Palestinian, if there are Israelis, there are Palestinians, and it's just a shame. It's a shame that that situation has gone on as it has for over half a century. It's just awful. It's awful for the people in the Israelis who have been blown to pieces. It's awful for the Palestinians who have been blown to pieces. I don't know.
Well, as far as Israel is concerned, I think the only solution for that is the UN to get in there.
Well, I'm not sure. That's something I've been thinking about and talking about for probably since the 67 war. Patrick, we are flat out of time. Thank you. I appreciate your call. I just want to mention Bev Harris will be our guest tomorrow night, according to Kathy, during the second hour to discuss what's happening. What?
According to Kathy. Sounded iffy.
Well, no, not iffy. You're still punishing me over that trivia question problem.
That's it. Anyway, Bev Harris will be here to discuss what's happening with blackboxvoting.org and Diebold's lawsuit against them. So we'll look for you tomorrow night. That should be interesting. Program engineered tonight in Detroit by Jay Bilecki, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Thanks to Mark Marshall, Maximum Interactive, for our website, MikeMalloy.com, and especially all our moderators at the message board there, doing yeoman's work to maintain the fun and frivolity. We are very appreciative of all of you who are mods at the website. And as always, Jim, our Arkansas Music Bureau Chief. Thanks, Jim. Y'all have a great night. I'll see you tomorrow night. I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction.